Sunday, August 17th, the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading from Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 4 through 6 and 8 through 10. In those days, the princes said to the king, "Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin." King Zedekiah answered, "He is in your power," for the king could do nothing with them. And so they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of Prince Malchiah, which was in the quarters of the guard, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. Ebed-Melech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, "My lord king, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern. He will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city." Then the king ordered Ebed-Melech the Cushite to take three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. The second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Haydock Commentary. Let us rid ourselves of every burden, that is, all that may hinder us when we run in the way of virtue. He compares the condition of Christians to those who run a race, who fight or strive for a prize in the Olympic Games, who strip themselves and make themselves as light as possible, the better to run and fight. The Christian's life is both a race and a combat. In baptism we enter the lists, therefore we must fight in running to Jesus Christ, for he is the term, the goal, and the prize. To run well we must be as light and disengaged as possible, and the same if we hope to combat with success. We should look up to the battles fought by our captain, Jesus Christ, and contemplate the glory he now enjoys on that account, for this he means to share with us if we imitate his virtues. Let us then rejoice to suffer with our captain here, and we shall be glorified with him hereafter. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, etc. The sense seems to be, he, by reason of the joy he had to perform the will of his eternal Father, for which he knew he should be exalted above all creatures, underwent willingly the ignominy and death of the cross. You have not yet resisted unto blood. Though you have met with some persecutions, you have not yet shed your blood for his sake, who laid down his life and shed every drop of his blood for you. The Gospel from Luke chapter 12, verses 49 through 53. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father, a mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother, a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Haydock Commentary. I have come to set the earth on fire. By this fire, some understand the light of the gospel and the fire of charity and divine love, others the fire of trials and persecutions. What is the fire which Christ comes to send upon the earth? Some understand it of the Holy Ghost, of the doctrine of the gospel, and the preaching of the apostles, which has filled the world with fervor and light, and which was signified by the flames of fire which appeared at the descent of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles. "My words," says the Lord in Jeremiah chapter 23:29, "are as a fire and as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces." Others understand it of the fire of charity which Christ came to enkindle upon the earth, and which the apostles carried throughout the whole world. But the most simple and literal opinion seems to be the fire of persecution and war. Fire is often used in Scripture for war, and our Savior declares in St. Matthew that he has come to bring the sword and not peace, That is, the doctrine of the gospel shall cause divisions and bring persecutions, and almost an infinity of other evils upon those who shall embrace and maintain it. But it is by these means that heaven must be acquired. It is thus that Jesus Christ destroys the reign of Satan and overturns idolatry, superstition, and error in the world. So great a change could not be made without noise, tumult, fire, and war.